talking again
about body swapping
from
two boys.
Hi, I'm Paul Mitzi.
I'm Lucy Thomas.
I'm Brendan Levi.
And we are the Swap Cars Podcast. Every episode we watch an entry in the body swap movie genre and break it down for you. This week we are watching the 2014 Christmas TV movie, The Christmas Switch, starring Natasha Henstridge and Brian Krause, where a dying toy shop Santa swaps bodies with a con man in order to bring joy to children for one last Christmas. As always, we love to hear from our listeners, so slide into our DMs on Insta, send us an email, or chuck us a review on iTunes so we can get to 100 reviews and do an episode on Face Off already. So, Merry Christmas, guys. Have you guys got exciting Christmas plans this week for Christmas, which is this week?
Is it? Oh, because time and
you
all that.
You just freaked Brendan out.
Actually, this episode's not even coming out Christmas week, so I don't know why I said that. It's coming up close to Christmas.
Well, I'm just so excited because this is the first year that my kid is, like, fully aware and he, like, says the word Christmas and points at the lights and the decoration, and I'm just so excited for him to wake up on Christmas morning and have presents and do family things, and it's going to be real cute.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute. And I'm excited to introduce him to a Vanessa Hudgens Christmas movie for the first time next week.
No, he watched one last year.
But this time he'll be able to follow the storyline, is what you're saying. He's that, you know, with it.
Who's Vanessa Hudgens?
Oh, Brent.
Get out. Get out.
Paul and I literally have a Facebook chat group called the Vanessa Hudgens, what is it? Appreciation Society. So you need to get out of here and go and watch High School Musical.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You enjoy your group. I was like almost offended that I wasn't involved.
Spring Breakers. Yeah. That's a bit more like indie for you.
Hey, this film didn't go to cinema release.
All right, well, let's get into that. So, onto the Christmas Switch. Every year, we watch a body swap Christmas TV movie. And every year, we have been subjected to a giant steaming pile of turd. Have we finally broken the streak? Is the Christmas Switch a ho-ho yes or a ho-ho no?
Ho, ho, no. Yes. What?
Brendan. Did you guys?
Did everyone have a good time? I had a good time.
Are you being serious?
Is it because you've been drinking whiskey? I saw you drinking whiskey before.
How much did you drink to get through this movie? So are you seriously saying you enjoyed this, Brendan?
No, I was just engaging.
Au contraire.
Everyone else was going with it. Okay, out of all the dumb Hallmark Christmas films we've done, this one is just as bad.
Yeah, I'm really trying to weigh it up in my mind, and I think it might be.
They're
just
all
as bad,
fucking painful. This one was.
Was the Denise Richards one, was that Hallmark or was that something else?
The Denise Richards one. Which one was the Denise Richards one?
Are any of them Hallmark, or are they just have that Hallmark feel about them? You know,
wasn't she in the one with Tom Arnold?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
With the demon.
So
we've
done three
and one of the bold
three
ones?
Denise Richards movies. I forget that.
is this a Denise Richards podcast? I think that one might be the best one, and it was very bad, but at least it had a pace and it was kind of shiny, you know, the way these all just look so cheap.
This film was fucking painful. This film was bad, and I think, I don't know, I think I'd have hated this one the most out of all of them. Yeah.
Really? In saying that, I feel like this one.
No, the one with the dead mum was the worst one. Also, this is The Christmas Switch, not to be confused with Christmas Switch or A Christmas Switch. What are the other ones called that we've watched?
A Christmas Switch.
Christmas
Trade.
So which one? Okay, we got to do this because I'm going to be referring to them all. So which one is the two chicks, the cafe and the recording that, executive?
A Christmas switch.
And then Tom Arnold was Christmas trade.
Christmas
And then
trade.
The two brothers were a Christmas swap. And then this Santa con man switch is the Christmas switch. That's all of them, right? Mm. That's everything we've done?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this film definitely had the problem that a lot of those other TV movies have where it looks, even though it was shot in 2014, it looks like it was shot in 1998 in the fashions, in the sets. It was set in New York, but that just meant they used a whole lot of stock footage of New York.
Oh, did they ever? Rockefeller,
Rockefeller, Times Square, the Bergdorf department store, and then that's it. It's like those three over and over again, and then we'd cut to set in Canada. Stairwell
of an office complex.
With a green screen, and the green screening was so bad.
Okay, so can we just, that you were saying this was a real hard slog. Can I just tell you that I had to... You know, this time of year, it's so busy, start to have a million things on. I had my work Christmas party last night and came home and had to start watching this movie at 11:30 at night. The first thing I wrote down was, it is 11:30, y'all. I was just like, are you fucking kidding?
So did you watch all of it in one sitting?
No, I got so tired.
I watched the first 10 minutes. Sorry, I didn't watch. I listened to the first 10 minutes while driving home in the car so that I could make this podcast.
PSA, we don't recommend doing that. Do not listen to
not
movies
watch,
when you're
I
driving.
Just listen.
Oh, my God. So many visual gags you would have missed, Brendan.
And I think
There's
I might have
stuff.
Missed some things because I was very confused. Is that the problem of me or the movie?
Well, generally movies aren't meant to just be listened to. It's a visual medium. I don't know if you know that. I watched this after I came straight home from a flight and I had to go get a COVID test because of all the restrictions right now. It was an exhausting day. Came home, watched this. It did take two naps to get through. And I think it was like my body's like defense mechanism trying like, you shouldn't be watching this. Close your eyes.
You're like, do I have COVID or am I watching a Christmas shitty spot movie? Like the symptoms are.
You joke, but I literally at some point I'm like, am I getting sick? Or
yeah, I'm being real.
All right, so let's do the 30-second plot summary.
This is going to be excellent. Go ahead.
So, for the people that don't know, I try to break down the plot of the film in 30 seconds. I barely ever actually get it all in 30 seconds, but we'll see. I have a feeling this won't happen this week. It's a very convoluted plot. Like, there's a lot of subplots. There's a lot of things that...
It just never ceases to amaze me how complicated they can make these shitty movies. Like, you don't have a lot of money. You don't, like, just make it simple.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Okay, ready, set, go.
So there's a man who's been Santa at a toy shop for 50 years, but he's dying. So he prays to Santa that he can be young again. So then Santa swaps his body with a con man who only agrees to do the body swaps in exchange for $1 million. They swap bodies, but then like his con man friends try to get the money back. Then they swap back. The old man dies. The con man realizes the spirit of Christmas and fucks the old man's daughter at the end.
Time's up.
Yeah,
not bad.
So that's basically the film, but
you missed all the like rich nuance, like the fact that he was a poet apparently, and the daughter was studying for the bar, which paid off.
Yeah,
never. And that
I wrote down, how soul destroying would it be to be an actor and like you're in a movie like this and your character, you have to be like, I'm studying for the New York bar. It's just like, and you're in some shitty movie. It would just really make you like
Yeah, no? And especially Natasha Henstridge had a career. Like, I mean, she still works pretty consistently, but like there was a point where she was in movies that were released in the cinema and she was the main character, and now she's doing this.
And look, she did well in this.
Yeah,
she did.
I felt well sorry for her. Like, she was too good for this film, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, one thing I will say is I'm so surprised this was 2014, because when Leo was in Charmed, I'm not calling him anything other than that. That was like, what, yeah, the 90s? He looked great still.
At one point in this film, they said he was 35 years old. And there is no way that man is 2 years younger than me.
Yeah, whoa.
Like, there was a lot of wrinkles on that face. there's like a whole subplot with the toy shop as well. Like, there's like an evil shrew boss woman, like, because we don't get enough of those in SWAT films. And she... I guess she wants to get an old dying man to come back and be the Santa, but the guy that's the president of the toy company or whatever wants to replace the Santa with a robot. It's like none of that ended up being important at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And that robot, we see the robot once and it was obviously a man pretending to be a robot, and then they unplug it and he's still blinking.
Never before in my life. Like, I can't, I just, yeah. What are you saying?
And the robot Santa, like, punches a woman in the stomach. I think I'm making this film sound a lot more interesting than it is.
Better than it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I feel like towards the start of it, I'm like I had this feeling of like, all right, here we go. Like, this is going to be like, you know, dumb, but it's going to be like just balls to the wall weird.
Yeah. And yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm just watching an old man eat cabbage soup and the yeah. movie's over.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's a body swap between the con man and the old man, but we spend most of our time with the con man in the old man's body. So basically we're just watching a dying old man sitting alone in his room.
Being bored, yeah. And all the action, all the stuff that you probably would find really, like, Christmassy and fun would be seeing the old man back at his element playing the Santa game.
But no, that was
at all. Like, we get, like, maybe 30 seconds of it. And, like, that's why it, is the old man, yeah, like, okay, I get he's bedridden and he's dying, but he's, like, not, you know, like, he's pretty cognizant. He can, like, walk around sometimes. He's always talking. He's alert. Why is he in an empty room with no TV, no anything? He's always just lying there staring at the wall and that's it.
And then, like, the mum, like, not the mum, the daughter wonders wonders why, like, he wants to get out or whatever. It's like, yeah, he's bored yeah. as fuck. Like, can you just make his remaining years
yeah, he's like, fun? I would just like to go outside. She's like, no. No, you're staying here, you fucking piece of shit.
It's like elder abuse.
Is she the villain?
But, like, aren't, like, poets, isn't that what they do? Like, poets, like, you know, sit and watch the sunrise and pontificate.
He couldn't see the sunrise. Literally, the view lives? From his room was a brick wall.
Yeah, it was another building.
They couldn't afford green screening Whoa. Anything better than a brick wall. So that's what he got.
Yeah, the green screen yeah. was
yeah.
heavy-handed.
Well, like, the opening yeah. scene was in, like, an alleyway, and that was probably the worst. Still green screen. And then when they were at the Rockefeller, like, skate, ice skating, that was, like, the worst as well, green screen.
And you know how as well there were, like, a few different times when they were at this location, but it was, like, different days or whatever, and it was always the same stock footage. I'm like, I recognize that person skating from the last time that you were here, even though it was a different day. And another great one was there was a scene where they're, like, walking into the warehouse yeah. where all the criminals hung out. Was that their house? I'm not sure. What was this venue? I'm not sure.
The hideout.
Anyway, the snow on the ground was so fake. You could see, like, the guy walking on it. It was like the stuffing from like a cushion. It was like squashing beneath his feet, but like not like snow.
You think
snow
like
wood.
The purpose of filming these kind of films in Canada is that you'd get these like kind of nice weather, Christmassy weather, but obviously it didn't happen that time. but yeah, that warehouse. So pretty much majority of this film was in three locations: the depressing bedroom of the old man, the warehouse with like burning trash cans, and like the stairwell of the toy shop. It's like so boring, all these locations, and depressing.
Yeah, not
and
visually
not
exciting. No.
It also led me to the other question. So we never find out when he's swapped into the con man's body, where is he living? How is he surviving?
Yeah,
because he's also refusing to get paid by the toy shop. All he wants is the toy shop to give money to charity. So he's got no money. He's got nowhere to live.
This is what I'm saying. Was that warehouse their house? Did they live there? It's like they looked fairly well. Like they weren't like dirty or it didn't make any sense. And also, you know how like the con men, their con is they're doing like three card Monty or whatever it is. Is that what it's called? Yeah. And it's like every like normal, well-dressed person on the street is stopping by and playing this game. I'm like, this is not, it's like a dad with his daughter in doing Christmas shopping. It's like, are you going to go and like check this person out when they're on the street? He was like in a dirty Santa costume. And like obviously doing something criminal, and all these like well-dressed business people are like, I'll have a turn. It just was really stupid.
Yeah, like I don't understand. Like, does free card Monty happen anywhere besides films? Like, is there anyone walking by someone who's got a little table set up on the side of the road and think, oh, here's a legitimate like,
right?
And I don't know if you saw it because it was while you were driving, Brendan. But in that scene, there's like a father with a son. And he's like, I think I can beat this. And the son's like, no, Dad, it's our Christmas money.
And he's like, does it anyway? It's like, holy fuck.
And then there's
dude.
Like a grandma speaking to the cops, like saying, you know, this is dodgy about the three card Monty thing. But the cops like wait for like 10 minutes and watch all these people lose their money before they shut it down.
Maybe they thought, oh, maybe it's a legitimate
three card Monty operation.
And
yeah.
then at the end,
this is the ultimate.
Yeah.
Is this what you're going to talk about? Oh,
this
my
is the best part.
God. Okay. So I just need to quickly say that, you know, how the whole time the other criminals want him to teach them the reindeer trick because he does it with the reindeer cards, and it's like pretty sure just like a simple like Google search will teach you this. This is like not complicated, and he's
but
not
also,
doing
they,
anything special.
They each put $250,000 in to this. Like,
I know.
This is their big scam that was going to be there. Their retirement money or something, and then it ends up being free card Monty again. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so basically at the end, Demon Santa, which we'll get back to later, gives the con man his $1 million. But by this time, the con man has learnt this like the meaning of Christmas. So he tells the other con men in the trash can warehouse, give me your split of the million back, and I'm going to like quadruple it with a new scam. Then he just does three card Monty in the alley again, but makes it that he loses and gives it all the money away to all the fucking suckers. Like, why do they deserve a Christmas miracle? They're giving all their money to a fucking like dodgy Santa. And
they're being dumb.
Like,
yeah.
And by this time, it's like 5 o'clock at Hallmark and all the writers are like, ooh,
The meaning of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas is reward gamblers in an alleyway. Like, what the fuck? But anyway,
like a reward a father who was going to spend all your family's yeah. money on.
Because the same dad that loses his money in the first scene comes back and gets a whole bunch of money back. Like, that's a positive thing that he's continued to gamble.
And he goes for it. Yeah. It's like as if you yeah. would do it too.
Yeah. The exact and same the, guy. The, yeah.
That guy would definitely, his next step would be going to fucking the horse races and spending, like, he's like, I'm on a roll now. Like, there's no way he'd have that money for more than 10 minutes. But anyway. Then the cop,
but
yeah, the cops then come up to the table and you think, okay, the cops are going to shut this down. And then the con man, he gets the card, rips it up. He's like, I'm done, man. I'm done with this life. So then the cop gets his wanted poster out of his pocket, shows it to him and then rips it up and throws it in the air and gives him a thumbs up and walks off.
I'm like, yeah, because cops fully just like, that's a thing, right? It's like, they're just like, oh, it's Christmas. You're on the yeah. wanted list, but we'll just rip it up. Yeah, that was, I wrote bah ha 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 across the whole page of my notes. I was like, this is too much. Also, okay, so Demon Santa.
Yeah,
I guess I like looked away and checked the time on the wall or something. And I thought this whole thing, I wrote this whole bit in my notes about, I thought he was praying to God. I thought this was like a religio movie and God was doing this.
Because he says clearly from one Santa to another, he was praying.
Well, definitely.
He believes in Santa.
I definitely looked away for that part. Sorry, y'all. This film was not that captivating. And then I did a whole thing being like, you know, what if God was one of us, just a slob like one of us, or like a guy in a leather jacket with a receding hairline vibe. But he was like rock and roll Santa.
Do you know, I don't know if you guys thought of it, but the thing that I thought of straight away was in I Think You Should Leave season 2, how there was that Santa whiff who's like Detective Crashmore, the action movie starring Santa where he's like fucking shooting people in the face.
Yeah.
That's the vibes that the Santa had in this film.
Also, that I cannot deal with, that guy called himself Nick, and then a week and a half later he was like, Nick? Nicholas? Saint Nick? Saint I'm like, Nick. I am fucking embarrassed for you. That was a week later. Yeah. Oh, that was so painful.
The thing is, what did they think was going on? Because this man appears, he's making like people disappear, he's making briefcase of money appear out of nowhere, he's making you travel through time and space, and they don't click. It doesn't click that this being
well,
is,
I mean, that character of Eddie, who is the con man that swaps into the old man, was a fucking idiot. Like, he was swapped into the old man's body for a week before he goes and sees his swapped, like, the guy in his body, and he's, like, shocked. I'm like, you've been an old man for a whole fucking week.
It breaks
him,
yeah.
Like, how did this not compute to you that this is what was happening?
But it wasn't even the fact that he saw himself, like, he saw his own body, like, you know, holly jolting around and stuff like that. It was the fact, what did he say? He said, I never saw myself enjoying Christmas like that. And that, like, just
broke. Well, I guess, like, we do find out his backstory that he used when he was a kid. He really...
In the last 30 seconds of the film?
Well, no, they do set it up a bit earlier that when he tells the story of when he was a kid and he was, like, falling over all the time when he was trying to skate, and then his dad came beat the shit out of him. Like, this is the kind of stuff that we want to hear in Christmas movies, but, like, I think that's his association with Christmas, and that's what turned him into an awful person, and doing this Christmas swap kind of, I don't know, fixed him. I hate this movie.
So is he a good person the rest of the year? It's just Christmas he becomes a con man?
How bad was the... Okay, so we need to do the whole sequence. So they're having that little chat and he's talking about how, you know, his dad beat him when he was younger or whatever, and he's like, can you do me a favor? Can you skate for me?
Can you scare for me?
And for some reason, yeah, I know. I'm like, this is off. Like, can you skate for me? It was like, ooh.
I know, right? Her and her father had zero sexual chemistry. It was so frustrating.
Oh, God. Anyway, for some reason, I don't know why I did this, but, like, to make a note of that in my notes, I wrote it, like, SK8 for me in my notes. I don't know. I think Avril Lavigne's been, like, in pop culture again, the skater boy thing. Anyway, then I was like, that is an amazing vanity plate for a car. Skate for me, like, with the letters.
With a four?
Yeah.
With a four?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I wrote it in my nose. Skate like, for me. Like, SK8 letter number four for me. Anyway, and then they do this little montage of them skating. Oh, that's at the end, though, isn't it? And it was, like, with the spotlight and stuff, and it was so bad.
Like, if they were going to go for the whole thing that he's in the old man's, like, he's in her dad's body and he's falling in love with her, there's, I guess we could have got some, like, 17 again, like, awkward comedy out of that or something interesting, but it's just not. It's just nothing inert.
Nope. I don't understand why these films, why do they keep doing all this death and, like, illness and it, you know, like, we saw that old man, like, his face covered up by a sheet and being wheeled away on a stretcher. It's Christmas.
Well, evil.
Well, Santa explained.
Satan came and said, it's.
I don't think he was evil. I think he was just a pagan Santa.
He was evil. He was an evil man.
He was like Santa, like, broke bad. He'd, like, shaved off his beard and had a leather jacket. He was just going by Nick, you know? Yeah.
I looked up that guy's filmography.
Yeah, you did.
He had some really interesting titles. There was the Sex and Violence Family Hour. Which starred Jim Carrey.
But do you know, in terms of, like, performances, how good were the other con men in the warehouse who thought they were in a Goodfellas movie?
Was one of them Sinbad? That guy looks like Sinbad.
But the other one, like the kind of short, dumpy one with the glasses?
They were just trying to be... like a Home Alone, those two, Harry and Marv. It was, like, even with the hat and the glove, like, it just was so, it was bad.
Or Bulk and Skull from the Power Rangers, something like that.
Yeah.
That were channeling.
Yeah, it was awful.
Well, let's just say, you know, we were in the writer's room. How do you think you would have gone about making this a good swap film? It's Christmas. It's not hard. Like... Like, I think we've all said, like, our standards for Christmas movies are very low. Like, you just want to feel happy and you want to, like, go away with a nice lesson about, I don't know.
Well, I was going to do this as, like, an honorable mention for when we do our tenuous, but it doesn't count as a tenuous anyway. But we accidentally did Vice Versa and then found out it was a Christmas body swap movie, and it was so good. That's all time for me. It was so good. It had, like, the warm nostalgia, like, heaps of comedy, I would say. So how could you make a good Christmas body swap movie? You get Fred Savage and Judge Reinhold and do Vice Versa. Like, it can be done. Like,
in terms of this specific plot...
Remember when Fred Savage went, holy shit, what the... Yeah, he was so good. Like,
In terms of this specific plot, though, what I would have done, I would have made it that instead of an old dying man, I would have made it... Like, it could have still been an old man, but maybe, like, in a funny, like, slapstick sequence, he falls down the stairs and breaks his arms and legs or something. So he can't... So it's not a dying... Like, it's not a dying situation, but he still can't go and be the Santa that year. And then he swaps with the con man. And that way... There's not that, like, depressing stakes to it.
But then what are we watching? We're watching now not just an old man who does nothing. An old man who's literally, like,
Yeah, but then I wouldn't have focused...
trying to hit on his daughter.
But then I wouldn't have focused on that. And then I would have shown more of like the old man. Now he's in a younger body and he still gets to be the Christmas Santa in the shop. There's ways that you could have made this film that you didn't want to like.
I don't know. I think it would have been better if it was like a kid swapping with a con man, like a Macaulay Culkin type, like a low rent Macaulay. You know what I mean? An old man. Like,
but then like,
I don't know. Yeah. I just want to watch Vice Versa.
Yeah. If Leo from Charm, if he had to be the Santa and he like learnt shit about Christmas and like being a good person from doing this
you
for
wouldn't
the old man or like, something like that. That makes
I love
more
as well.
Sense,
it's like he wasn't even didn't even have to become Santa and like do Santa's job. It's like he became a Santa, like a toy shop Santa. Yeah. Seems like well, very small
I
scope.
Think
you know what I mean? Like this is not Tim
Wait
Allen
a second.
Being
not small
Santa.
Scope. This literally like turned the retail industry around having the Santa. You know, like. Famous Sam the Santa.
Yeah, and you know when she was going, he'll come back. They always do. I'm like, what are you referring to? Like, who always comes back? Like,
and like,
not
how many people
thing.
Like treat a guy who dresses up like Santa like a fucking celebrity? Like, he comes in plain clothes.
Like he was, yeah, he was being
he
mobbed like
plain
a Beatles.
Clothes,
yeah.
And he gets like mobbed by people. They just see him and their eyes light up. Yeah. Like, what universe is this film set in?
Can you guys explain to me? Why he loved being sent? Like, I feel like I missed something at the start. All I could hear was like this old man being like, "Ooh, I've got a shed to shoot.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Please, let me be sent to
I
his
can't
daughter.
Even imagine audio only. Like, it just would not have been a fun drive.
So the. What you missed. So the reason he likes being Santa is because he really likes having children sit on his lap. He went through a it's like his favorite thing. So, yeah, and everyone really liked to indulge that. So it was a real tragedy when he couldn't do it anymore.
And did the poetry.
Why?
Was
Why
the poetry Paul? Influenced?
Yeah, all his like... all his poems are about that.
Cool. Can I also just say, when I was watching the movie, I paused it. I had to, like, whatever, go to the bathroom, whatever, and I come back. It says this movie is for 6 to 12-year-olds.
What 6 to 12-year-old is going to enjoy this?
Can you imagine a 6-year-old watching this? Oh, my God.
I can imagine them, like, being like, oh, I need some background noise while I play Minecraft.
And then, so my bit isn't my bit isn't finished yet. I accidentally, when I was, like, pressing play again because I was watching on the computer, I accidentally, like, took the cursor way back and, like, the movie started again from the middle bit and I was a bit like, oh, what was happening before I went to the bathroom? And I watched, truly, 10 minutes of something I'd already seen. Didn't notice. I was sort of like, oh, I thought they were – this just seems a bit off.
Yeah, because really, like, if you see it as a kid's film, there's only two kids in this whole film. Like, at one point, there's, like, a little girl that wants, like, heaps of presents and she's from a rich family and you know that because her mother's wearing a big fur coat.
Also, actually, no, a kid can't watch this because that's the whole Santa not being Santa. But I guess
but
Nicholas
there is, Santa.
Is
there's also,
yeah, this is true. Yeah. So yeah. It's like that. It's just
but
accepted
kids,
that he's
like,
got
it was that
people
on the
working
kids
for him.
But then
out.
There was
yeah.
another
yeah.
girl, another kid character, Carla Jensen, who was given a name. One of the other characters came up to her. It's like, Carla Jensen. Carla Jensen,
yeah,
you're back.
Had the
and she's like, yeah,
cookies.
I'm always come back to see Santa. And he's and she has this whole speech about how she thinks that Santa's sick and she's brought him a present. And you think it's going to like lead up to something. And then we never see her ever again.
I'll tell you what, I thought it was a cameo and I just didn't know who it was because that's what happens a lot.
I've done it for almost 50 years and I have never missed one Christmas, no matter how much snow or rain or sleet. I mean, I'm a regular postman for the North Pole, Will. So what do you say? From one old Santa to another. Huh? Let me play Santa Claus one more time. Let me just make a difference in a few kids' lives, even just one kid.
Okay, now it's time for our favorite segment, Hot or not? And since we're recording remotely this week, thanks to my COVID quarantine.
Pending yes, COVID status.
I don't think
yeah.
it's wise that we all sing at the same time like usual. So, Brendan.
Okay. I'm going to do this as Santa. Okay. One, two, three.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not.
Ho, ho, ho.
Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
Merry
I
Christmas.
I watch you while you're sleeping.
Oh, boy.
All right. First up, Natasha Henstridge as Susan Wells.
Who?
Someone else.
Sorry, the who daughter. Is in this film? Oh, the daughter. The beautiful daughter who used to be in Species. We've all seen Naked.
Can't,
yes.
Can't.
Lovely. Beautiful woman.
Can't. Ice skate to save a life. Studying for the bar. Super stressed about it. Yeah. Do I have to answer?
Yes.
I mean, she was pretty. Yeah.
She's a beautiful person. She's smart. She's looking after her.
Looking after, torturing.
Dying her, father.
Her torturing
Why
her
couldn't
dying
she
father?
Make him something better than cabbage soup? Why?
Yeah, that's what you feed the, like,
we try to make him fart himself to death.
Willy Wonka at the chocolate factory. That's literally what they're eating in that film. But also, what was wrong with her cabbage soup that he literally was, like, wincing at the taste?
You guys know that is the bit that I came back to, accidentally watched twice. I was like, didn't I already, what is this? I was like, oh, fuck, I've gone way back in the movie.
Look, I think she was torturing her father.
Yeah, she was definitely poisoning. Yeah. I still think she's beautiful.
She was probably pissing in that soup. Just like taking pleasure in watching him eat it. I'm gonna give her a hot, even though she was like the most boring human being on earth. Did either of you guys watch Species back in the day?
No.
I've seen parts.
Her parts.
Dirty. yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean she's a beautiful woman. All right, so Leo from Charmed as Eddie Bennett. We're not going to use his name again.
Hey, it's me, Leo. Why am I acting like it? Anyway.
I don't. I thought he looked good. He gets a hot from me.
He could model in like a Lowe's catalog.
Whatever that is.
I'm going to give him a not. I think he was looking haggard and he was a con man and he hung out in dirty alleys and I don't like him.
But he meant the meaning of Christmas.
All right. It's been a while since we've paid out Lucy for liking old men. Cedric Smith as Sam Wells, the old man.
No, thanks.
That was easy. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Leo from Charmed.
We've already just done him.
Yeah, but I feel like, Lucy, what do you think of this old man?
And finally, Krista Bridges as Barbara, the shrew manager.
Yeah, I you keep calling her a shrew. She's literally doing her job. She saved the company.
No, the Santa saved the company. And also she was like, he'll be back. They always are. It's like, what are you referring to? Are you on drugs maybe? She's getting a knot from me, dog.
I mean, and also, like, how much money could this Santa possibly, like, how much difference could he possibly be making to the bottom line?
We saw the graphs. It was like,
I think maybe that's just Christmas in general because people are going to be buying more toys at Christmas.
She literally goes to his house and she's like, we're willing to pay him triple his salary and pay for your law degree. Like, how much?
And then turn it down, which I found hilarious.
What? Yeah. As if you would turn that down. You get your old dying father.
Hey, Dad, go sit in a chair for 10 hours.
Yeah, it's crazy. All this body changing stuff. I gotta say, you're looking really good, Eddie.
Really good?
Yeah, it is me, Al. If you want proof, I'll do the reindeer trick.
No, your partner here wouldn't lie to me.
So what do you want?
What do you think we want? We want to be your partners, but this time on this $1 million you're getting for the body switching scan.
Let's get to Opinion Swap, where we find some interesting reviews of The Christmas Switch from across the interwebs.
Are they out there?
Yeah, this film had 17 reviews on Letterboxd. First one is from Irene123, who gave it 0.5 star. And they say, the only reason I watched this was because I couldn't fall asleep and it just happened to be on TV. It took me over half the movie to realize that the main guy who played the young Santa was Leo in Charmed. And so two things from my childhood are now ruined.
Yeah.
Right. Was Charmed ever good?
I love Charmed so much. I had a big, like, witchcraft moment because of Charmed.
All right. So this one's from Abby, who gives it 0.5 star. And she says, old guy's dying wishes to play Santa in a toy store one last time because it brings him that much joy that he asks God / various angels to step in, and their solution is a body switch.
See, she thought it was God too.
And their solution is a body switch with a 3-card Monty Alley scammer. There are so many plot lines, it moves very slowly, and it's all so convoluted that doesn't really feel that Christmassy in the end. Add in the incredibly creepy fantasy the criminal has about the daughter of the body he's in, and it becomes close to unwatchable. A true highlight is when they green screen said daughter into Rockefeller Center. So if you want a good laugh, there's that.
Yeah, actually, when I saw that scene of like the daughter and him and his real body, like just in that spotlight dancing.
Yeah, the spotlight.
It reminded me of like something David Lynchian, Mulholland Drive or like, yeah.
Finally, we have one from Brian Maguire, who gives it 4 stars. And he says, now we are talking Sweet Santa LSD. The lovely Santa Diaries just got lit up on fire with this massive LSD Christmas banger. Holy Christmas, this film is no joke fucking Xmas awesome. The old man is king up in this flick, yo. A hell of an actor. And lots of stupid lines trying to make sure we, the viewers, know that they have switched bodies. Now the last film we reviewed, Christmas in the Heartland, can go suck it compared to this gem. This movie is not just a weirdo trip to LSD Santaville. I mean, it is, but it is also not very good. And at the same time, it's really good. Like, it's perfect, and the real Santa is a full-blown bear from the darkest S&M dungeon in all the lands. I would like to party with that Santa. So much bad, it's good. So much good, it's good. Fuck yes to the moon for me on this gold goose. What do you think, Kitty? I said I enjoy a good switcheroo movie, and ladies and gents, here it be. I loved everything about this movie, especially Mr. Sanjit playing Sanjuth Varughese. I don't know what it is about him, but how would you describe him? I don't know, but I would like a plush doll in his likeness.
Oh my God. What?
I'm glad that somebody got like some Christmas joy out of this movie.
That was something else.
I think they got some joy out of LSD.
Yeah.
So, young dude, what do you want Santa here to enact for you for Christmas?
You're not Santa.
What are you saying, dude? I'm the most genuine Santa you're ever going to experience. Go starting any false rumors about who I'm not and ask you one more time, what do you want for Christmas?
Santa Claus doesn't talk to children that way.
Is there any problem?
Yeah, you're Santa here.
Jeez, they're so sensitive.
Look, if you can't get a real Santa to play Santa Claus, I'm going to do my shopping on the internet. I mean, what happened to the nice Santa that you had last year?
Hey.
Now it's time for Tenuous Recommendations, where we each recommend a movie, TV show, song, album, or book that is connected to today's movie in some way. So, I will start off. Now, I have a bit of a trivia for you guys. Who was the third ever celebrity voice actor on South Park?
No idea.
The guy from The Cure?
No. Actually, who was the first ever? Do you know that?
No.
Wait, what was the question? The first celebrity voice?
On South Park. No Googling.
I don't know.
The first ever celebrity voice on South Park was George Clooney as Sparky the gay dog, where he just barked.
That was George Clooney?
Yeah.
Now bring it all together.
So the third ever celebrity voice actor on South Park was Natasha Henstridge.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And the reason that they put her on the show is because Matt Stone and Trey Parker found her extremely attractive in Species and wanted to work with her.
There you go. So what are you recommending, South Park?
So I wanted to do something from the from Matt Stone and Trey Parker, who were huge Natasha Henstridge fans. And they actually used to do like video intros to the South Park episodes, like on the VHS tapes of South Park. And for the episode with her in it, they were talking about how they used to play a game called Natasha Henstridge, where one of them would have to be play Natasha Henstridge and the other one would play with themselves.
I hate South Park so much. I just hate it. It's so for boys. It's I just next.
Well, anyway, I'm recommending the first film that Matt Stone and Trey Parker ever did together.
Haven't you already done that?
No, I did Orgasmo previously.
Same diff.
But I'm recommending another much lesser seen film. The 1993 movie Cannibal the Musical.
The musical.
Yeah, which they did. It's a Troma movie, and it's extremely low budget. I think they made it for like $1,000, and it is hilarious, and it's a musical, and there's some songs in there that I sing all the time while I'm in the shower, because there's some catchy songs. Like, you know, obviously they went on to do Book of Mormon, and you can see that DNA in this. Like, they were always interested in skewering the musical genre, and this is like a skewering like movies like Oklahoma and you know, before films before shows like Smigadoon have done it recently. It's really like violent and funny and like gross, and I think more people should watch it. And you can watch it for free on YouTube, because Troma have put their entire back catalog of movies for free on YouTube to watch. So it's really easy to track down. 1993's Cannibal the Musical.
So a fun little tidbit. I have seen it.
Yeah.
And the guy that wrote all that I sing the intro with to this podcast, our theme song, is obsessed with Cannibal the Musical. That's why I've seen it.
Yeah.
And once he used to play in bands, and he played this night that was organized, and a whole bunch of local people that were in bands had to play like a solo set. It was called No One Wants to Play With Me. So it was people in bands doing solo sets. And he just did all songs from Cannibal the Musical. And everyone's like, what the fuck is this?
I wish I was
story.
There.
That's my story. Yeah.
I would have really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
All right. Lucy, what's yours?
So I'm like scraping the bottom of the barrel, you know, like, the first time we did a Christmas one, I did my favorite Christmas movie, and then it's like, and then it was my second favorite Christmas movie, and like, it's getting harder and harder.
Yeah.
And you know, like, you can't recommend Home Alone. You just, you can't do it. I think I did, there you go. Actually, that's a great idea. I think I did, Meet Me in St. Louis for it when we did a musical one. So I can't even do that, which actually that probably is my favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Judy Garland singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Iconic. So I just was like, what are some offbeat Christmas movies? So I'm doing In Bruges. Have you seen it?
Yes.
In Bruges, yes.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah. So that's just like Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
I always get Colin Farrell and Colin Firth mixed up, and they are very different people.
Yeah.
He plays a hitman. It's Christmas time. It's very dark comedy, I guess. Is that the genre you would say?
Yeah.
And he's in a bit of trouble, and there's a beautiful scenery, and it's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's about forgiveness, like
yeah.
this film?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, great one. I really enjoy that film.
Cool.
Brendan.
Hey, I also am going to recommend something, and I am going to do it thusly. No, when I was watching this film, a film came to mind, and I think I've mentioned it a couple of times, and I thought maybe I should just recommend it so it's just officially, like, you know, it's out there and it's like endorsed by me, and so our listeners can actually, you know, go ahead and watch it, because
they were waiting for this. Works. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm recommending 2002's Death to Smoochie, which is a film that stars, what's his name?
Robin Williams.
Danny DeVito. Oh, and Robin Williams.
Yeah. Have you just talked about this before? I thought you had already recommended it.
I haven't actually recommended it, but it has Catherine Keener in it. It has Edward Norton. It has Jon Stewart. It has, a lot of laughs. It's probably terribly dated in its comedy even, but I'm still going to recommend it because the themes of this movie around Christmas being corporatized and, like, the, you know, the little girl who learns from Santa about communism and the distribution of wealth. I feel like these all sort of play in the Death to Smoochie realm, which is sort of looking at the children's entertainment industry for the same lens. So Death to Smoochie, I think it's, I assume it's still a great watch, and I highly recommend it.
You know, sometimes quality is better than quantity.
Why? Isn't it better to have more than less? That's what Daddy says. The more money you make, the more you have. The more you have, the happier you are. And I want to be very happy for Christmas, Santa.
Well, we all do.
Where are we ranking The Christmas Switch among the films we've covered on the podcast? So I declared at the beginning of the episode that this is the worst Christmas movie that I think we've watched. And the last film on my list is Christmas Trade. So I guess that means that this has to be on the bottom of the list.
Really? I am going to, I guess, stir it up, because I'm putting mine just below A Christmas Swap, because that girl singing Popcorn Night is still really dear to my heart, and I'm putting that just above. So it's between A Christmas Swap and Fallen.
Well, Christmas Swap was the brothers one.
Was it?
Yeah.
The Christmas Swap.
Yeah.
How is that higher? Wait, all right. So it must be higher. How high is the other Christmas? A Christmas Switch is so high on my list.
I'm gonna put it between Velocipasta and The Christmas Swap.
I have to redo mine because it's clearly better than
Birth. We always
say
that, but we're not allowed.
This film is definitely better than Birth, but I had more fun in Prelude to a Kiss, so I'm doing.
How the fuck is this film better than Birth? I'm sorry.
I'm there with you. I hated Birth.
But on a filmmaking level.
No. Fuck you. Fuck you, dude. You don't do that. Never works for you.
Good.
That
just
never works for you. You pick pieces of shit every time over good things. Fuck you.
So, Brendan, where are you putting it?
I told you, between A Prelude to a Kiss and Birth.
Okay. All right. So next episode, which will be
our New Year's swap.
it's our last episode for the year. So
it needs to be something good. I don't know if I can do another one of these.
Now make it shit.
Okay. So I've chosen one. I think it has the ingredients for something we might enjoy. It's a Korean buddy swap. The last Korean one we watched, we enjoyed. This one is highly regarded. It's actually been remade by a couple of other countries because it was so successful in Korea. It's also a 2014 movie called Miss Granny, where an underappreciated old granny magically turns 20 years old again and decides to make the most of her newfound youth.
Ooh.
Yay.
So,
no, that sounds sort of fun. Like,
yeah. Like, it's well-reviewed. It's well liked. It's a age swap, which we haven't done for a while.
And it's like a female age swap, which is like very different to like 18 again and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's more like 13 going on 30. But
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What, you know, when we started this podcast and it was like, we had like the hot chick to look forward to and Freaky Friday. Are there still any of those like heavy hitter fun? Are they, other than Face Off, are there any out there, or is it just going to be toiling in obscurity forevermore?
No, there are some high profile ones. I try not to like do them all in one hit because.
Yeah, I get that. I know you have to space them out, but also, exactly. I know you have to space them out, but also, just I need to know they're out there. I don't know if I can keep going.
When are we gonna do the stripper who changes bodies with Jesus Christ?
Oh no!
That's a sort of Christmas one.
I'm pretty sure, you know, I post about that on my social media. I get disowned, so I don't think we're gonna be doing it. As much as I really appreciate our listener,
appreciate them recommending it. But yeah, like I do still have friends who listen to this who. You know, part of the church, and I don't want to go that hard.
All right. So to everyone, have a Merry Christmas if you're listening to this Christmas week. Don't watch The Christmas Switch as part of your Christmas festivities.
Yeah.
There's so many good Vanessa Hudgens Christmas movies to choose from. You don't have to watch this.
I'm Googling this woman. Vanessa?
There's so many Christmas movies I want to watch that I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
That have come out this year. What's the one with Dan Levy and the that Love Hard one you're talking about? And there's so many.
Yeah. And there's a RuPaul Christmas movie as well.
Oh,
the bitch who stole Christmas.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So until next time, you are a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, if you do not review us on iTunes. Like, honestly, it would be a fantastic Christmas gift to us if you reviewed us on iTunes. If you want to give us something for Christmas, just go to fucking iTunes and review us.
And I just want to say I am completely with you, Paul. Like, we've had like some listeners who have given us some, you know, sweet, you know, Instagram posts and Twitter mentions, and I think like I understand where you're coming from now. Everyone else, you fucking sucks.
yeah. It actually makes our day when we get like feedback. So if you're not sending us feedback, you're a piece of shit. This is what I'm saying. Anyway.
But Merry Christmas as well.
Yeah, also Merry Christmas.
Are we any closer to the 100?
Nah, we've been like on 61 for months. Like, people are pieces of shit.
But what about the ones when we get nice emails but they don't review it on iTunes? Can't you add that up?
No, they have to review us on iTunes. Maybe should I change it to like 70 reviews?
No. And I have a feeling like Lucy's just like, come on, get to 100 so we can do Face Off and that could be my final show.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm not changing it.
No, I'm not. That's not it.
All right.
I was Lucy Thomas.
I was Brendan Levi. Do something for someone else this Christmas. That's kind of a cool thing to do.
All right. The Queen of Sheba has just entered the chat.
All right. See you. Bye.
Can you tell me who Sheba is?
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.